we had this little election back in 2018. And despite the final tally and the inauguration and the situation we find ourselves in, I do have one very affirmative statement to make. We won.
Failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams speaking to Al Sharpton's group, his Action Network. Do I have to remember the name of his group? Maybe I should. Claiming that in spite of the outcome, in spite of everything, in spite of the fact that she was over 50,000 votes behind, she still won. God love her. Bless her heart. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Good morning. Welcome into the Thursday edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, handling hosting duties, hoping that you are doing well, and hoping that things are good in your neighborhood. It is a, as I look out the studio windows here, it is a beautiful day in our neighborhood, except for the pollen, and hopefully we can break out of the walls of the studio at some point today and enjoy the great outdoors. Who am I kidding? I'm stuck in here. It is, it's going to be an interesting day today. It's funny, I start pulling things together to use for the podcast and the Facebook Live broadcast in the afternoon of the day before. And some days it's a lot like pulling teeth. I have to go digging and finding things in bizarre, oddball places, digging into sources I really would not like to quote. And then as the evening progresses, it's like somebody opened the pirate's treasure chest and things are just hand-delivered to you that are beautiful. That Stacey Abrams story is one of them. Also, there was a liberal activist who tried to destroy a Trump supporter, tried to ruin his life, and it didn't work out so well for her. We'll talk about her. Stacey Abrams, of course. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I really don't like talking about, except to tell you that she was auditioned for the role of a congressperson, and she won. She was auditioned by a group called Justice Democrats. Well, looks like she's in legal trouble again. We'll have a look at that story. And we'll start off with this story coming to us from TheBlaze.com. And I think this is an important story because it illustrates government's view of itself as it relates to you. Here we go. A judge has dismissed a lawsuit from families of victims that were murdered in the 2015 terrorist attack in San Bernardino, California, and exonerated the government from claims of negligence. Families of three victims say that the government did not do enough to prevent the terror attack that claimed 14 lives and wounded 24 others. You remember this, don't you? U.S. District Judge Andrew Guilford said he was sympathetic to the families, but that the government's sovereign immunity prevented the lawsuit from proceeding further. Let me repeat that. The government's sovereign immunity prevented the lawsuit from proceeding further. To quote Judge Guilford in his decision, "The heightened tragic circumstances in this case do not create an exception to the legal principle that private citizens may not sue the government in tort for making discretionary, policy-oriented decisions. A contrary result would be both legally and politically unworkable. The court's strongest sympathies lie with the victims of this shooting and their families, but this case lacks a legal foundation to move forward." Now, in essence, what he's saying is that they didn't make their case. That's what he's essentially saying. But the disturbing part of this is he is saying the government rules, and unless you can afford the right lawyer, you're never going to win. The plaintiffs argued that the government didn't do enough to investigate the couple, the terrorists, before letting them into the country. They also charged that the couple's friend, who supplied them with weapons, had ties to an Islamic organization that had links to terrorism. The judge ruled that the sovereign immunity of the government was created to prevent exactly these kinds of lawsuits. The San Bernardino police said the Muslim couple might have been triggered to attack because of the Christmas decorations at a mandatory training session. So what do you think about this? Here we have 14 lives which have ended, 24 others damaged, wounded. And because of a legal technicality which favors government, these people have lost their pursuit of justice. As I said earlier, what the judge is basically saying is they didn't make their case. Frankly, I hope these people get help from an advocate organization which will step into the legal realm for them and make the right case for them. Because we're seeing case after case after case of people who have gotten into this country, who are hostile to this country, who are helped by people here who are hostile to this country, and they have harmed people and murdered people. We have seen case after case after case of members of our society who have mental issues, who have slipped through the cracks in spite of the fact that multiple people have called authorities concerned about their behavior and the potential for them to do massive harm. We had a bunch of kids in Florida die because of that last year. But the government shields itself and doesn't allow itself to be held accountable for its lack of competence. And as a result of their lack of competence, people die. As I said, I hope these people turn back around with the proper representation and make this case and rattle some cages and get some things done. I hope they take it as far as they possibly can, because we're seeing case after case after case where innocent lives are being taken by evil people and deranged people who slip through the government's fingers because the government is incompetent. And that's pretty much all I can say about that. The government is incompetent, and they shield themselves from the consequences of their incompetence. Very, very sad. I hope that the government actually doesn't drop the ball when it comes to the socialist darling of the Democrat Party, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's facing another complaint, an FEC complaint, this time over a subsidy scheme. She was hit with another Federal Election Commission complaint yesterday, regarding the alleged operation of a subsidy scheme that violated campaign finance laws. The complaint accuses Ocasio-Cortez and her campaign manager, Saikat Chakrabarty, which sounds like a name from a sitcom, accuses them of being in charge of a shadowy web of political action committees, PACs, that helped them raise money, but they didn't comply with FEC regulations. In addition, the complaint alleges the duo created a limited liability company, an LLC, to avoid federal expenditure requirements by offering the candidate and other Democrats political consulting services at prices low enough that the company had to shut down before the election was over. The complaint alleges Brand New Congress LLC, a now defunct company owned by Chakrabarty, aimed to recruit up to 400 candidates for national office and fully run all of their campaigns. Now, the reason this story, I think, is important is because of that one little line right there. The complaint alleges Brand New Congress LLC, a now defunct company owned by Chakrabarty, aimed to recruit, here's the important part, aimed to recruit up to 400 candidates for national office and fully run all of their campaigns. You've heard me refer to Justice Democrats several times in the last week or so. This is the core of the purpose of Justice Democrats, to recruit up to 400 candidates, to audition people as they did Ocasio-Cortez, to make sure they could actually handle the role that they were about to script for them. They would run their campaigns and then feed them everything they needed once they were elected. That's what this is all about. Conservative attorney Dan Backer, he's the guy who filed the complaint, says Chakrabarty was trying to create the Uber of politics. Quote, Uber functions because of a massive subsidy from venture capital. Here, it's subsidized by these PACs to deliver a valuable service that people need and want but can't be delivered at the real cost of it. Backer says the company provided contributions to approved campaigns known as in-kind expenditures by charging candidates only a portion of the cost of the service, giving the campaigns the consulting they needed for cheap. The company operated at a loss to provide the services. According to Backer, a 1990s era FEC advisory opinion explained that goods and services must be provided to campaigns at fair market value. Otherwise, they were to be considered in-kind contributions. Ocasio-Cortez and her now chief of staff, Chakrabarty, are named in the complaint along with the Justice Democrats PAC, the Brand New Congress PAC, and Brand New Congress LLC. Sorry, had to clear. I had something crawling in my throat. The complaint comes as Ocasio-Cortez faces a similar filing from a few weeks ago. According to the previous complaint, Ocasio-Cortez's chief of staff funneled campaign funds to private organizations to conceal their origins. She also faces accusations that she has yet to pay back taxes on a failed business venture. Backer says the FEC, which has been slow to rule on current complaints, needs to speed up the process or face legal action. Quote, it would be wonderful if the FEC would get off its dysfunctional backside, I edited, and rule on these things. So, goods and services must be provided to campaigns at fair market value. And this is what was transgressed. This little organization provided these services to these candidates at blood value, thus transgressing the law. And this, you know what, this may seem to you to be a stretch, but the important thing is that these names of these PACs and the LLCs are coming into public view. And it will give, hopefully, it will give some people who claim to be journalists a level of curiosity to start digging into these PACs and the LLCs and find out what they were really all about. Because up until this point, all we have is just a rare report from time to time from people who smell something fishy and dig into it and find the dead fish, which is this bizarre activity, this recruiting, this auditioning of candidates, and this scripting of what they're going to do for Justice Democrats. And it's just reporting on the fringe so far. I guess that makes me one of the guys on the fringe, huh? Because I'm relaying that to you. But the thing is, this is a shadowy little organization operating behind the black curtain and orchestrating a takeover of Congress. They're also working at the state level in some attorney general races and other races. Anywhere they can get their fingers in, they're getting their fingers in. So we all need to be aware of what they're doing what they are hoping to do, and we need to act accordingly. And you're never going to find this information, never, in the mainstream press. The progressive press doesn't disapprove. So they're not going to tell you about it. So it's important for you to dig elsewhere to find the details, to find out what's really going on. And that's what I encourage you to do all the time here. Develop a gut for what's true in the news and what isn't. Hopefully, we'll help your gut along coming up after the break here as the Daily Perspective continues. You're listening to the Daily Perspective. It's good to have you along. Wherever you may be, whenever you may be listening, good to have you there. Thanks a lot. I'm looking through the stories, and it's just... Remember what I said the other day about wishing I could just go on a vacation? I've been back just over a week, almost 2 weeks now. I just want to get away from all this stuff. I think you probably do, too. But it's so important that that we be very, very aware of what's happening around us. That's why I encourage you to do your own digging. This is a source. I hope it's a source for you. But it shouldn't be the only source. And I can tell from the feedback from people in their comments that this is not your only source. And I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. It's a good thing. It's a good feeling to know that you're there, that you're active in your pursuit of truth, and that you're developing that gut to find out what is true as opposed to what you're just being told is true. It's so important. You have to dig beyond the evening news. And it's disheartening to talk to people, and I talk to people on a regular basis who are shocked. For example, when I was in physical therapy and rehab for the knee surgery, from time to time a story would happen, and it would get the attention of the physical therapist, and they would be chatting about something. And they'd say, "Did you hear about that?" And I'd say, "Yeah." I'm a news junkie, I would start spewing what I knew. And the look of shock on their faces was just profound. For example, the Promise Program, that program that was implemented in Broward County, Florida, which is what resulted in the school shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. The fact that this program was in place to ignore the transgressions, the behavior, the dangerous behavior of students of color to prevent their statistics from tanking, to make the school system look better. And as in, you see, we have fewer kids. We've instituted a program which has improved the overall behavior of our students, and we no longer have the high crime numbers, crimes committed by our students. Our programs are working. Well, of course they're going to work if you ignore their misbehavior. If you don't send them to the police. If you don't have them prosecuted. If you don't follow through as a normal, rational, reasonable, sane person would, your statistics are going to change. That's, by the way, a very common progressive thought, because there was some nut on the federal level who's encouraged doing exactly the same thing with the border crisis. Hopefully we can get to that at some point. But this guy has said, "Oh, here's a way to fix that problem. Change the laws." In other words, don't make it illegal to break into our country anymore. That is insanity. But that's progressivism. And that example of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School and what happened with the Promise Program, that example is what shocked the physical therapist when I was going in for rehab. I said, "Oh yeah, there's a program. They just don't report the crimes. So that way the stats don't change. The stats are, the bad stats are going down. If they don't report them, well, the stats go down. The problems still go on. In fact, they're getting worse, but they're getting worse because they know there's no repercussion." Right, you do something wrong, and they don't give you any grief for it. You don't have to deal with the cops because they don't report you. you end up in, I don't know, in detention or something, instead of actually having to face legal consequences for breaking the law. Well, that ain't nothing. Why should I change my behavior if I'm just getting a slap on the wrist? And that program is real. It's still in place, by the way. That hasn't changed, even though the people of Broward County are waking up and realizing that the people in charge there are idiots. Not much is changing. Because once government gets entrenched, progressive government gets entrenched, it doesn't let go. It's like a bulldog. It doesn't let go. It just holds on and will not turn loose. It fights, kind of like an alligator going into a death spin once it's got its jaws clamped around something. It just fights and fights and fights and won't give up. Regardless of how wrong it is, regardless of how inept it is, regardless of how corrupt it is and how obvious it is to everyone, they never give up. That's why. That is why Stacey Abrams refuses to see the reality of what happened to her in Georgia. They don't back down. They just don't back down. But I'll get to that in a second. What I was talking about was, generally speaking, your friends, the people that you hang with, your church-going friends, your co-workers, they get their information from the evening news. They sit down and they make a choice, ABC, NBC, CBS. They watch a half hour or maybe an hour of news in the evening. And so what they get is filtered through the progressive, it's shot with a progressive lens and filtered by the progressives to give you the progressive side of things. So they believe certain things are happening. And they're fed certain facts which are intended to contradict and correct the actual real the reality of the situation. And I know that I've had this happen talking with people who get all of their information from the progressive media. They'll say, oh yeah, but so-and-so did this and they said that, and it's never a big issue because of this and because of that. And every last thing that they have quoted as something that debunks my position on something is propaganda issued by the progressives. So you have to develop a gut for what is real and what isn't. And if you're honest, there's your key word, honesty. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with what you know from your life experience. You have to be honest with what you've learned just living your life. And you have to face the facts that in certain situations, people behave certain ways and they don't behave other ways. But progressives will tell you the opposite. They'll tell you that these people behave that way because they're victims. No, they behave that way because they wanted to behave that way. It was their desire to behave that way. Then mama raised them better, but they chose otherwise. And that's what's going on. People are being brainwashed by the evening news to believe that life is a certain way, and they're ignoring what they know to be true because it's more comfortable. And that is what you need to learn. You need to learn, we all need to learn, to be honest with ourselves and see life for what it really is. And when we do that, we'll see the progressive viewpoint on life as being a fantasy, a delusion. Like Stacey Abrams. We're back to this again. At the top of the podcast, I played a soundbite for you. That was from Stacey Abrams, the failed Georgia Democrat gubernatorial candidate. She falsely claimed on Wednesday, yesterday, that she won the race for governor last year against Republican Brian Kemp. And here is what she said.
We had this little election back in 2018. And despite the final tally and the inauguration and the situation we find ourselves in, I do have one very affirmative statement to make. We won.
I have one very affirmative statement to make. We won. She was speaking to the National Action Network. She actually thanked Al Sharpton and a handful of other progressive leftists as she stepped up to speak. And she says she won. She's got a lot invested. Okay? A lot. And because she's a progressive, She's clamped down on it. She's doing the death roll. She's not going to give up. She's not going to give up. She claimed, without evidence, that Kemp was an architect of voter suppression and said she still refused to concede the election. There has been absolutely zero proof. But voter suppression is a buzz phrase that's being used by the progressives today. Why? Because it creates a class of victims. Those people whose votes were suppressed are victims, and the progressives are advocates for those whose votes were suppressed. Even though no votes were suppressed, even though a record number of people voted in this election, more people voted than ever before, but somehow votes were suppressed. She continued, I'm not the governor of Georgia. Remember, I told you about my opponent. You see, not only was he the Secretary of State, he was also the architect of voter suppression. We can work as hard as we want. We can fight rights. But if you're fighting against the system that's designed to oppress you, sometimes you got to fight a little bit longer than you think. On November 6th, I said from the podium that we're going to not declare anything until every vote's counted. And on November 16th, I decided to acknowledge the status of the election, but I refused to concede. Because here's the thing. Concession means to say something is right and true and proper. Hey, you know what? This is a prime example of progressive political behavior. They refuse to acknowledge reality. They refuse to acknowledge the fact that the people didn't like them and voted against them. Why? Because in their minds, they are intellectually and morally superior to those people. So those people can't be right. This is the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, driving the big shaky bus. Hope you're having a good day. Hey, thanks for signing up for the daily newsletter. I appreciate the fact that you're there, that you're interested in getting the show notes every day, because I send them out every day, the links to all these stories I talk about. And the reason I do that is because many times there's more in the stories than I have time to get to. I also don't have time to get to everything in my stack, so I send the rest of the stack to you as well, but only if you are a newsletter subscriber. I used to post the show notes online on social media and our website, but I don't anymore because, you know what? That's a special feature just for you if you really care about being involved. So subscribe to the daily newsletter, get those show notes, and read for yourself about Stacey Abrams. Read for yourself about Ocasio-Cortez and that stunning decision in the San Bernardino terror attack. Read for yourself what the Washington Post has to say about Trump giving false information to lenders and investors. I'm going to dig into that here in a few minutes. And the things that I won't get into, I just won't have time to today, like the story about Chicago electing their first black female lesbian mayor and socialists on the rise in Chicago and how that's going to make things worse. Just subscribe today and you'll find out more information than I get a chance to deliver during this hour that we spend together each morning and during the podcast. And thanks, by the way, for subscribing to the podcast. If you're a podcast listener, God, thank you so much for being there. Podcast listeners are everywhere: Alaska, Hawaii, California, the UK, all over the place. Thanks so much for being there and making this part of your daily listening. It means a lot to me. Share it with your friends. Let's make this family get bigger. Okay. Yesterday I mentioned, and I have also gone into more detail in the past about what was happening with the Mark and Mac show, and I was telling you that we have been in talks with some people, and it looks like I talked with Dave yesterday. He and I had a little phone chat yesterday about a handful of things, and one of those topics was his radio show that he's doing in the afternoons on a talk station in Huntsville, Alabama. And it looks like there's a possibility, I'll just lay it that way, it's a possibility that I could be joining Dave in the afternoons on the station in Huntsville. And that's going to be a lot of fun to get us back together again, being serious and silly about the topics of the day, enjoying ourselves and just being a couple of conservative guys, and talking about the matters of life as they relate to all of us, and the matters of life through the lens of politics and the insanity that is our government. Hopefully, we'll have an opportunity to make that happen. He's got a little groundwork to get done, there in Huntsville. And once that is done, we'll be, you know, tackling the technical issues and making all the hookups necessary. And hopefully, that will spring forth another podcast. There is an option. There's a listen live option, and I will let you know what that listen live option is once we get all of the ducks in a row, okay? So that you can join us in the afternoons. I'll give you all of the information once everything falls properly into place. At this point, it's a plan. And when that plan finally falls into place, I'll let you know everything about it, okay? All righty. So that means there'll be two things a day. So there'll be this in the mornings, and then there'll be us again in the afternoon for a few hours. That'll be fun. Hopefully it'll all fall into place. Everything will come together. But that is stuff that still has to come. I told him about this. I mentioned this story to him yesterday, the one I'm about to do. He said, oh, yeah, instant karma. I love it when that happens. Well, a California woman with a mohawk decided that she wanted to ruin the life of an elderly man who wore a Make America Great Again hat. But it ended up, she ruined her own life. Parker Mankey. By the way, looks exactly like you what you would expect a raging liberal to look like, went to Facebook to brag about how she harassed this old guy. She bragged about how she harassed him at a Starbucks, left, came back, harassed him some more, and then wanted to dox him and ruin his life. She said this in a now-deleted Facebook post. Quote, anybody in Palo Alto know this freak? He was sitting in Starbucks. I think he lives in Palo Alto. He will never forget me, and I will think seriously about and will think seriously about wearing that hat in my town ever again. If you see him in this hat, please confront him. You do not want to be the person who didn't speak up as we slipped into fascism. I yelled at him, called the entire Starbucks to order, and yelled at him more about how it's not okay to hate brown people. He threatened to call the cops. I left after yelling at him some more. When I walked back by after picking up my lunch, he was still there. I went back in and yelled that I'd changed my mind, and I wanted him to call the police because I wanted to know his name, where he lived, his wife's name, where his kids went to school. I called him more names and told him to call the police. And then I yelled and asked someone else at Starbucks to call the police. He wouldn't call the police, so I called him a wimp. He got his stuff together to leave. I followed him to the register while he complained about me. Then chased him out of Starbucks, yelling at him to get the F out of my town and never come back. At one point, he tried to trip me up by asking if I lived in Palo Alto. He wasn't expecting me to say I was Palo Alto born and bred. I think he lives in Palo Alto. Please, please send me a DM if you see him anywhere. The part that was really heartbreaking to me was that in a full Starbucks, I was the only person yelling at him. There were other white people there who should have called him out. It is the duty of every white person in America to stand up to this every time they see it. Don't be the person who does nothing to protect your brothers and sisters from this hatred. It's not okay. And the people did speak up, but not the way the mohawked freak wanted them to against the elderly man. Instead, they contacted the music store where she works. And in no time, she found herself as the one on the unemployment line. Someone who calls himself Griffon Strings wrote on Facebook, with regard to the aforementioned incident, the employee in question has been terminated. This is the place she used to work. Griffon does not believe anyone should be harassed or subject to hate speech, no matter their beliefs. Music has historically been something that has brought people of diverse sociopolitical backgrounds together. We'd like to make it clear that the opinions expressed and actions taken by the employee are not indicative of how we conduct ourselves at the shop, and we hope we can contribute or continue to serve our customers across the country respectfully and universally, as we've done for nearly 50 years. So, this woke progressive decided to make life hell for someone, and it backfired on her. And what I love about this is this one statement, right? This passage right here. If you see him in this hat, please confront him. You do not want to be the person who didn't speak up as we slipped into fascism. And she completely and totally misses the fact that she is the fascist. She is the one suppressing other views. She is the one harassing people for not agreeing with her worldview. She is the one who is attempting to minimalize and marginalize anyone who doesn't see the world through the lens she prefers. She is the fascist. And she is a good representation of the fascism that is the progressive movement. Do you see what I'm saying here? The fascist was accusing others of fascism. And we see this happening time and time again. It's come to the point in our society where I have to be honest with you. I'll just share you a little slice of my life. I don't have any kind of political bumper stickers on my vehicles. I don't have any political window stickers. I don't wear political articles of clothing, like a MAGA hat. I don't do those things primarily because I really don't want someone vandalizing my property. I don't want someone attacking me in public for my views. I don't want that happening to me. And I have a feeling I'm not the only person by a long shot who feels the same way. The vast majority of people are going to hide their conservatism because the progressives are unhinged. They're insane. And in some cases, dangerously so. We're beginning to see, we have been for a while, but they're becoming more and more frequent. We're seeing reports of what they're calling conservative attacks on Democrat campaign headquarters and things like that. There have been a handful of reports in the last few days that have caught my attention. I believe they will find, after doing some digging, that these are probably all being done by progressive activists for the purpose of sullying conservatism. We saw Jussie Smollett do this in Chicago. He got off. He walked away. I haven't been able to confirm it yet, but I did see a post on social media that he is Kamala Harris's nephew. And that would tie a lot of loose ends up if that was absolutely true. Still some digging to do on that. But we're seeing this kind of thing happen more and more and more, where in our society, the left is committing acts of fascism, acts of violence, and then pointing the finger at conservative groups and conservative people. And it's all a lie. Progressivism, quite frankly, is one huge lie. So, remember this case in California. And remember, I think most people are sane enough to realize the insanity that they're seeing in front of them. And people like this lady with the mohawk are just going to guarantee that Trump wins again in 2020. This is The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Mark Congleton here. You're there. It works nicely because I'm the guy with the studio. It's the Thursday edition of The Daily Perspective. And we're talking about this, that, and the other thing. Pretty much anything that pops up in the news. And it's just, as I've explained before, it's The Daily Perspective. It's my perspective. I hope it's yours too, but it doesn't have to be. That's okay. We can agree to disagree, and it's fine for you to be wrong. All right. So, I mentioned this story a little while ago, and I want to dig into it, and hopefully, let's see, we've got a little time here. Hopefully, I can dig in so you can understand something, and that is that the leftist press is getting a lot of things wrong, a lot of things wrong, because their particular view prevents them from seeing things honestly. And that's what this particular story is about. The Washington Post, deeply biased, not a dependable source for accurate news reporting. The Washington Post is claiming that President Trump gave false information to lenders and investors. They're trying any way, shape, or form they can to demonize this guy. And they know that most of their readers don't understand how the real world works. They don't understand how the real world works. Well, on March 28th, just a few days ago, the Washington Post ran a political article claiming President Trump gave lenders and investors incorrect financial information. The Post claims these statements of financial condition were deeply flawed. It further claims that Trump overhauled his assets when attempting to get bank financing. The Post doesn't understand how business works. These people are idealists. They don't live in the real world. They don't live in the world of business, and they don't get it. For example, the Post noted that in a financial statement concerning the value of land, which was zoned for residential construction around his golf course in Southern California, Trump claimed the ground was zoned for 75 home sites. At the time the statement was made, the ground only had 36 lots. This, on the surface, may seem to be deceptive, but it's not a deception, nor is it incorrect information. It is simply the way real estate development works. More than likely, Trump realizes that the ground, which at the time, the land at the time, was approved for 36 lots, and he knew it could be altered. Maybe the zoning restrictions changed. Maybe he spoke with city planners who advised him that the planning board was receptive to building houses on smaller lots. This often happens in areas where land costs are very high. Trump realized there'd be increased value by going to the planning board and redividing the land. He likely drew a new plan, began marketing the lots. Once the property's redivided, he'd have to pay real estate taxes on 75 lots, not 36. That would more than double his property bill. What any developer would do is to keep the current configuration until enough of the new lots were pre-sold, then go for planning board approval for the 75-lot configuration. So Trump didn't give incorrect information in those financial statements. Rather, the Washington Post reporter was simply looking for a gotcha when none existed. The reporter should learn how real estate works. Additionally, according to the Post story, quote, he said Trump Towers has 68 stories. It has 58.
It has 58, not 68.
The reporter, again, doesn't understand real estate. The building has 58 floors, which may loosely be called 68 stories, since a story is 10 feet and the building is 664 feet tall. The floor numbers, you look in the elevator, the floor numbers go up to 68. It's not uncommon to skip some numbers when labeling the floors of a building. For instance, the first floor is 3 stories high. If that's the case, the builder may call the second level the fourth floor, since it's on the fourth story. Also, builders tend to skip 13 as a floor number. You ever looked at elevator numbers and realized there's no floor 13? Yeah, they did that for a long, long time because of superstition. That's how a building with 58 floors could have 68 stories. The point is that real estate developers must do whatever is possible to keep costs down and to encourage buyers to pay higher prices. That's how they earn their profit. As such, a developer tries to keep the property tax bill as low as possible. If a developer buys a 10-acre plot or parcel of ground for, let's just say it's $100,000, perhaps with agricultural zoning, the property taxes would be low. He'd maintain the agricultural zoning as long as possible. On the other hand, when he's seeking financing, the developer would note that the ground can be rezoned for residential construction and would permit 10 building lots, each lot worth $50,000. So the approved value of the ground is $500,000, not what he paid for it, $100,000. Does that make sense to you? So for tax purposes, the ground is worth the purchase price of $100,000. For financing purposes, 10 approved building lots are worth $500,000. This isn't a deception. It's just the way real estate development works. This is how it works in the real world. It's obvious that the Democrats and the biased mainstream press still can't accept the findings of the special prosecutor. Trump didn't collude with the Russians. He was not guilty of any obstruction of justice. Still, they want to do what they can to discredit him and find something where Trump can be caught in a gotcha. It's for that reason Trump should never release his tax returns. He doesn't have to, by the way. He does. There's the idiots at Occupy Democrats. Those bird brains are circulating a meme now, talking about Republicans demanding the release of a birth certificate for Obama, and then refusing to release the tax returns of Trump. Well, the American president has to be born in the U.S. He has to prove his citizenship from birth. That's the law. A U.S. president does not have to provide tax returns. It's not, that's the way the law is. Now, he shouldn't release his tax returns because they would show a number of situations where the value of an asset for tax purposes is different than the value of an asset for financing purposes. That's completely and totally legitimate. The mainstream media would call these discrepancies Trump lies, though. The Democrats were proven to be less than truthful for the past 2 years when they assured the American public that they had personally seen evidence which would prove Trump colluded with the Russians. You saw that on the news just like I did. They were also less than truthful when they said they had evidence that Trump is definitely guilty of obstruction of justice. It's time for the Democrats to stop playing gotcha, start performing their primary duty, which is to legislate. After all, they do have a majority in the House of Representatives where most new legislation originates. But that's not going to happen because their primary goal right now is to undermine the candidate Trump in 2020. They're doing everything they can to keep him from being reelected. They're doing everything they can to undermine his credibility in the eyes of the American public. They're lying, misrepresenting, obfuscating. They're doing everything they can to undermine Trump and his reelection in 2020. And as a result, people with common sense who got off their duffs and voted in 2016 are probably going to get back up off their duffs and bring friends with them this time and vote again in 2020 and keep Trump in office. Because he's actually delivering results, not just a lot of hot air, like most presidential campaigns have done. Most candidates campaigning for president make a lot of promises. And it's like they have a list. Okay, you can pick these three from these two columns. Go ahead and make these your campaign promises. This is what we're going to work around. And it's like whoever advises them is consulting a playbook. And this is how they do it every time. This is what we're going to do. Roads and infrastructure, children, schools. That's what they say. They even campaign on border security with no intention of performing any kind of improvements to border security. It happens every election cycle. But Trump campaigned promising to do certain things. He's having some trouble because rhinos are standing in his way, linking arms with Democrats. But he's delivering again and again and again. Even Hispanics are stepping up and saying, you know what? He's good for us. 2020 is going to be interesting. That's it for today. See you tomorrow on the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.